From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Well, the holiday season is here, and with it long road trips, layovers, and delays. Our job here at On Second Thought is 94% listening. So we are bringing you some of the things that we have enjoyed hearing over the past year to bide your time wherever you find it. Stepping out from behind the scenes, our producers LaRaven Taylor, Leighton Rowell, Elena Rivera, and Amy Kiley. And joining me in the studio right now, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Virginia.
Hello. LaRaven, you're a dedicated listener of The Daily, the New York Times Daily News Digest podcast, which is a lot of words. Now, which episode did you pick?
I picked the episode on the daily instant delivery. I listened to The Daily almost daily, of course. One day I came to work and Leighton was like, did you hear The Daily this morning? And she basically told me about this particular episode. And so the next day I listened to it on my way to work. And I have to tell you, I literally was crying and driving at the same time just because it opened my eyes to women who work in these strenuous environments under crazy conditions and warehouses. And it made me think twice about instant delivery. Like, before I push that button, like, do I really need this, you know, as soon? And I didn't realize how many people or how many women were losing their pregnancies, denied requests from their doctor's notes, and even, like, literally killing themselves, you know, doing the job.
Elena, you went in a very different, more entertaining direction with Dr. Game Show. This is a podcast where comedian guests play listener-created games and people call in and try to win prizes. So you were on an episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, my gosh. So,
you
guys,
keep saying, Alex, will you edit this out to the room next door to us? And that room is empty.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Is this show produced by ghosts?
The water is shaking on the table. The dinos are coming.
Wait, we're not hearing Elena on that podcast?
No, no. I'm not on that episode. That's actually the first episode I ever listened to, though. It's with comedian Jason Mantzoukas. He's been on, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place, a lot of different shows. It's such a weird show to describe to people. Joe Firestone and Manolo Moreno host the show together. Joe is kind of like a worrywart. She's paranoid. The listeners are kind of trying to sabotage the show. Manolo has really low energy and barely can do his one job, which is just play a theme song for every listener created game. And then people call in. And so it's a really interesting mashup of this new medium of podcasting with this kind of old school call in format. The charm of the show is it's a little bit messy and it's a little bit weird. And then they'll have kids as guests. And so the kids kind of bring their own fun questions and energy too. And it's like a joy to listen to. And so when it drops on Wednesdays, it's usually like the first thing I listen to right before coming to work.
A little more serious, Leighton, a couple weeks ago, you texted us all to ask if we'd been listening to Bagman yet. This is a new podcast by Rachel Maddow. Here's the trailer.
The people in the room, they gasped. It then became clear what this was about. That's really, to use a legal expression, that's when the hit the fan.
This is a story that is not well known.
What stuck in my mind about it was this was in the White House.
And the fact of the matter was, he was a crook.
So, Leighton, why do you like this one?
Yeah, well, as you can hear Rachel Maddow saying, this is a story that's not well known. And that is because Richard Nixon, the president at the time, was under investigation simultaneously for the Watergate scandal. And this podcast, Bagman, focuses on Spiro Agnew, the 39th vice president of the U.S. And he resigned in 1973 after being investigated by the U.S. attorney for the District of Maryland on suspicion of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, and tax fraud. Now, what you learn in history class, at least what I learned in history class, was that Spiro Agnew resigned and pled guilty for tax evasion. But it was a little bit more than that. He was taking kickbacks for giving contracts to people who were paying him off. And this is just a fascinating podcast for me as a history nerd. It also has a sound design that's really similar to Serial for me. It made me, you know, the music in there makes me say, okay, I have to find out what happened next. Ira Glass and Rachel Maddow had a big love fest on Twitter where Ira Glass said to Rachel Maddow, binge listening to Maddow podcast, hashtag Bagman, and so impressed. What a great story, totally engrossing and suddenly relevant.
Such a character, this Spiro Agnew, and so indicative of an era of politics.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it shows that there are not really any new things happening ever in politics. They've all happened at least once before.
Well, I also chose a true crime podcast that did not have a dead girl in it in some way.
Goodness.
The Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum heist was a big deal when living in New England, and my dad used to live over it. He looked down in the courtyard when he was growing up. So it was a special place in his heart. This is in 1990. About $500 million worth of art was stolen.
Wow.
And two guys posing as policemen responding to an alarm. Rembrandt, Manet, and there have been people who have been spending their entire life since then searching for this art. Never a trace of it shown up anywhere, but obviously a lot of characters. So Kelly Horan, who is actually a friend of mine and a producer and reporter at WBUR in Boston, and Jack Rodolico, also a former colleague, put together this amazing story. The podcast, I think it's about... 8 or 9 or 10 episodes. I can't remember. I gobbled them up so fast. But, you know, they've got characters like Fat Richie and the guys who, you know, the criminal network out of a body shop in Somerville. It's just wonderful and really good storytelling structure. And there's this one episode called Flim Flammer. And they talk to a guy in a museum up in like upstate New York, this faded little town with a museum. And this guy passing himself off as a Vanderbilt and a New York Times writer pulls into this town and suddenly, you know, hints as if he's going to give a lot of money to this museum. And here is the former director of the museum, Fred Fisher, I think his name is, talking about it.
For about an hour or so, he went on and on about how he's so interested in art and he was writing about art and he's particularly interested in art theft. And that was the beginning of a little bit of concern, because he went on and on about various thefts that he'd heard about, and, you know, it was clearly movie kind of stuff. Cat walked, you know, walking on the ceiling and jumping in through skylights, and, he read about these things, and he started to write an article, and it was basically he was trying to draw out of me about what's the security at the museum. And so I immediately, that was kind of the first red flag.
So he's just one of the many people they talk to. All right, Leighton, you have another podcast, Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. What's that?
Okay, I am obsessed with this podcast, and I'm slightly embarrassed to admit it, but not too much, because I know that All Things Considered host Audie Cornish agrees with me about Jonathan Van Ness, the host. He was one of the Fab Five on Queer Eye. He was the grooming expert, and he has to be one of the most vivacious, uplifting people I have ever seen on TV or listened to on a podcast. So here's a clip.
You know, to start from the beginning, more broadly, it's like, what's going on with bees?
So in general, you're right that bees are facing, it's hard to call it a mass extinction because there's a very technical definition for that, but definitely going through a major extinction period like many other organisms.
What's the getting curious part?
Okay, so this is a podcast in which Jonathan Van Ness interviews experts about anything he is curious about. So in this case, the episode was called How Can We Be Less Mean to Bees? It was all about... the extinction or the endangerment of bees, which, as everyone knows, we have to have fruits and veggies, everything that we eat, basically. Some of the other episodes that I loved are, what's the cutest way to fight climate change? And is Saudi Arabia cute now? And who was the Beyonce of Renaissance art? I love this podcast. It's super accessible. He is hilarious. And yet I come away from every episode having learned a lot of new information.
Okay, so you're getting a... background view of the highbrow thinking here on Second Thought with the producers. We're talking about the things that we loved listening to in this past year, and some of us still listening in some cases. I chose another podcast called Caliphate. This is Rukmini Kalamaki. She covers terrorism for the New York Times. And this is about her quest to understand ISIS. But this is really a podcast about reporting, I think, in many ways. I mean, we get stories of people who were recruited by ISIS and what their hazing process was, which is just, you know, shattering to think of. Girls enslaved, horribly treated. It's a really unbelievable look inside. But really, what it is about her instincts and rigor as a reporter establishing and checking facts. And there's this guy that they speak to for a series of months, and she has to corroborate his story and comes up with this idea that something is not quite right.
So during this time,
we're on our way right now to a town that
I was going all over. I went to Jordan. I traveled to Turkey.
I'm standing outside on King's Road in London.
Over to London to cover the London Bridge attacks.
Outside the home of one of the suspects.
And so it wasn't until months later that I was finally sitting on a flight, coming back from London, that I had a chance to pull up my notes and methodically go over what Huzaifa had told me. And it was at that point that I felt a sinking feeling in my stomach. Something was off with his passport.
All right. Oh, boy.
So.
I got chills listening to
this. I know.
Listening to this episode for this episode that we're making right now was, oh, my gosh, I felt so anxious.
It's crazy. They go through his passport and they see, basically he said he left Syria before the caliphate was announced. But the truth is he was actually there and he wanted to distance himself from, you know, the horror of what came after that. But they, you know, they're on a whiteboard and squeegeeing things and coming up with timelines. But this is just like one story she's been chasing for months. And to me, it is a story about like how journalism is actually made, and if you're doing real fact-based journalism, the work that's involved.
A lot of whiteboards.
Yeah.
You need just like rooms of whiteboards.
And WhatsApp groups. I've seen that she is inside the ISIS WhatsApp groups even, just trying to monitor what they're saying. I think it is incredible. And this podcast really is scary to listen to sometimes. You think about how vulnerable she is being on the front lines of this too.
I know. And she's fearless, you know, confronting people. Okay, let's have a mood swing. Elena, we're a little far from the sound of the summer, but your favorite was Cardi B's I Like It, featuring Bad Bunny and J Balvin. All right, you're bringing a little sense of summer with us.
Okay, so here's the thing about Song of the Summer. It needs to be something that, like, your mom can listen to, that you can listen to, that can play in the bodega, that can, like, play in your car. There's, like, a lot of qualifications for a Song of the Summer, in my mind, at
least. The world according to Elena Rivera.
The world according to me. And so, like, I think the thing that's amazing about this song is it's, like, takes this really classic sound and song that I've heard forever. It's obviously, like, that song, like, I Like It Like That is just, like, such a popular and well-known song. And then when that, like, kind of trap hit beats, every time it makes me, like, just have chills. And then she's obviously, like, combining these amazing things with these two, like, mega stars. And it's a song that, like, when I listen to it, it makes me think of summer still. Sometimes I'll put it on when it's kind of cold and just think, wow, I'm in summer now. I love this.
A transporting song. All right, LaRaven, what are you listening to in the dead of winter?
All year, Chloe and Halle, these are my girls. They're also sisters. Their whole album is a mood. They're from Atlanta, and I love them just because they're so dope. I have three sisters, and the sisterly bond among them is just beautiful. Their vocals are great and harmony out of this world. I love the fact that they produced the album, and they have been hands-on all around. Here's a little bit of it. We just wanna have some fun. Get some love for everyone. Pass it around when you get done. That's the move, yeah, that's the one. We can't die. And I think that they're just speaking to millennials and Gen Z. They're basically saying you see a lot of people living out the status quo and a lot of politics and social justice issues going around, but everyone is looking at the future and they're saying, hey, we got this. We're cool. The kids are all right. And I love the fact that they're nominated for their first Grammys this year. They're proteges of Beyonce. Y'all know I love me some Beyonce. I just love how futuristic they are, and they set the tone and let others catch up to their waves.
And I guess following on that theme, Leighton, one of the songs that you are listening to right now is called Self Care.
Yeah, so this song is the first single released from the new album Canterbury Girls by the group Lily and Madeline. They are sisters, and I discovered them when I was probably at the end of high school or early college. Loved their music ever since. They were sort of discovered by Sufjan Stevens, who's another favorite of mine, and he signed them to his label Asthmatic Kitty Records.
Let's hear it. Holding my breath, not there quite yet. Dear God,
I hope it comes soon. I know, I like this too.
I have always found their sound to be so haunting, but here you hear I don't know, a really soulful sound as well. I've always just related to them because we're about the same age. And this self-care label of the song, it's a buzzword right now. People are talking about self-care, but, you know, there's a hidden message in here because they don't actually say the words self-care in this song. They say, I can't make myself care. And I think it's a song about navigating early adulthood, relationships, friendships, and figuring out what it is you care about. So I just love this song. Can't wait for them to come to Atlanta in February to perform at Eddie's Attic.
So we've pulled our senior producer, Amy Kiley, out from behind the board to tell us a little bit about her, what, favorite Christmas carol?
This is actually my favorite piece of music of all time.
Whoa, what is it?
Yeah, it's actually Joy to the World, which is a Christmas carol, and people probably will know it when they hear it.
Joy!
Who's singing there?
This is actually the Robert Shaw Chorale, and it's one of the reasons that I love this piece of music so much. So it represents kind of the best of music. Robert Shaw, of course, is an icon to Atlanta classical music. The music of this is originally written by Handel, whom everybody knows. Lowell Mason arranged it, and he is one of the reasons we have music education in schools in the United States. And Isaac Watts wrote the lyrics, and he is really important to American music history. So it's kind of a merging of great minds, but anybody can sing it.
So this is something that, you know, if you go through any shopping mall or even a gas station, you can hear Joy to the World, right? At this time of year, especially.
Exactly.
Well, why do you like to sing them instead of listening to them?
Well, it's really important to my family's tradition. For years, my mom would play piano on play carols while I would sing them. We would also go to concerts, and I sing in a choir. And I love that anyone listening to that piece of music will probably recognize it. 300 years it's been here. O Come Emmanuel has been around for more than 1,000 years.
Wow.
We have these staples of our music tradition that have just transcended the test of time. And I think this one's going to make it to 1,000, too.
All right. Perfect way to leave you with Joy to the World. And that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by
LaRaven Taylor,
Leighton Rowell,
Elena Rivera.
And senior producer,
Amy Kiley.
I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for coming on the other side of the glass today, ladies.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
You can join the conversation. We're on Facebook and on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. This is On Second Thought.